Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 79. Today is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013. I'm Eric.
And as usual, I'm Lou.
And unfortunately, Jay is not able to join us today.
Slacker.
Yes. Fortunately, it means if anything goes wrong, it's automatically his fault.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Me too.
Yeah. I'd be happier if he were here, but if he's not going to be here, at least we have somebody to blame things on. So that's very cool. Tonight's episode, we've got actually some pretty interesting things. I'm trying to keep the show down so we don't have as large a quantity of things, but what we have, I think, is pretty interesting. EA is getting pretty strict with their beta testers, and we have a little bit of a copyright infringement thing that's technically not a copyright infringement, but it's got a lot of, especially techie fans, kind of ticked off.
Mm.
Yeah. Got some good rants for tonight. But anyway, before we go on, what have you been watching recently?
Well, let's see. I watched the finale of Fringe.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen it yet. So. I've got, as a matter of fact, I think I'm up to the finale. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. So, yeah, it was good. I was happy with the content.
You know, that was kind of weird. It wasn't like it was good. It was like, eh, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, can't say anything really right now. But, you know, of course, no, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Other than that, I am halfway through Ready Player One for the second time. We're doing Ready Player One as our pick of the month book review on our other show.
Yes, on the Escape Hatch.
Yeah, the Escape Hatch. And I forgot what a good read this was. It's such a fun book. And I'm not sure. I've never read the book as a physical paper copy. I've only listened to it on Audible, which Will Wheaton does the narration for, and he does a fantastic job. So I'm not sure how much I enjoyed this because he's just such a good narrator or the book is really good. I think it's a combination of the two. but, you know, I started listening to it, and I got, after the first half hour, I'm in the car, and I'm realizing, God, I'm smiling. You know, it's just such a fun read.
Yeah, you know, I read it the first time around, and this time I'm checking out the audiobook as well. And I agree with you. Will Wheaton does a great job with the audiobook. But I can't say that it's because of him. The book is just, it's a darn good book. Mm. And I'm halfway through Scoundrels. We talked about that last week. But yeah, I have to read Ready Player One for the Escape Hatch. And I don't want to make that sound like it's a chore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to. Yeah. Mm.
Well, it makes me sad because I have to stop reading a book I'm halfway through, and I hate doing that. And especially, this is a book I've been looking forward to, and it's Timothy Zahn. And it's Timothy Zahn in Star Wars, and it's classic Star Wars with Han Solo and Lando and Chewie and doing the whole, like, kind of underground thing. And that's my favorite aspect of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for me to put that book down and pick up something else. But I have to say, if I have to do that, Ready Player One is probably the one book that really makes it tempting.
Mm-hmm. And it's only about, 14 hours, I guess, worth of audiobooks. So it's not too long. You know, it's not a 20 or 25 hour book. So.
It's too short. There should be more.
It should be, yeah.
I don't care. You can say it's 36 hours long. Nope. Too short. Needs to be more. Well, we'll talk about that more on the Escape Hatch. For those who don't know, on our Escape Hatch podcast, which is kind of covering science fiction, steering a little bit more toward post-apocalyptic stuff, but, you know, for the most part, covering sci-fi in general. Once a month, we are going to be choosing a book, kind of a book club kind of thing where we pick a book. We give you 3 to 4 weeks to read it, and then we're going to have an episode where we discuss the book. So right now, the book for... Well, we kind of started it halfway through the month, but we'll call it January into February. It's going to be Ready Player One. And if you haven't picked it up before, check it out and then come listen to the Escape Hatch. And we'll talk about it there. And if you have any comments about the book in the meantime, send them in. And we'll read them on the show, maybe.
Very good.
But moving right along, what else do we have?
The only other thing I picked up on recently, and we talked about Doctor Who last week a little bit, and a friend of mine is a big Whovian, and just professing some of the stuff about the classic Who series, and I didn't realize there was over 600 episodes of classic Doctor Who.
Wow.
It ran for 24 seasons, I think it was. It was like 64 to like 80 something. I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea there was this much history.
You know, I did go back recently and look at the Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And saw, you know, all the different years and how it broke down, and I was fascinated by it, but I didn't really pay attention to how many episodes.
It's crazy. And in the early episode, the early seasons, like 64, 65 or something like that, there were like 45 episodes a season.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, 45 episodes. That's amazing. And I guess what happened was too, I guess at certain times they lost, oh, I think she said about over 200 episodes at some point. They had recorded over them and they weren't available back when they didn't realize there was going to be people buying stuff on DVD, you know, and tapes and so forth. Right. So they lost a lot of it. And I guess they've recreated almost all of that. I think there's about 30 episodes still missing. They're working on recovering, but.
Yeah, there have been some where people had recorded the audio from it. And the audio from the episodes exist and not the video. And then if I read the Wikipedia page correctly, there's some stuff for which they've gone back and animated. Like they have the audio and then they've animated portions.
Yeah, I heard some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think I'd have a hard time going back and watching the really, really old stuff.
That's what she said too. She said the production quality is pretty bad. And she said, in fact, you know, it makes original series Star Trek look like, you know, state-of-the-art high def. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's saying something.
Well, and I think the first season or two, it was designed, theoretically, it was designed for kids.
Oh, really?
And then I think it got to be a little too intense for kids. But, yeah, it was supposed to be a show where they introduce kids to both science and history. The episodes in the past were supposed to teach kids about history, and the episodes in the future were supposed to teach them about science. And then I guess BBC said, you know, the science stuff is really good and the history stuff's kind of boring. And they were probably right.
Yes.
So, you know, something I've got in the show notes, and I think we're going to mention it on Escape Hatch anyway, but let me see. Yeah, got it right here. BBC America is airing The Doctors Revisited, which is a title they just made up. That's not, if you go search for it online, you're not going to find much. But what it is it's a four-part serial of the first Doctor. It was a story arc called The Aztecs, and it's going to be airing this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. So, if you want to check out a little sample of the original stuff, that might be a good way to do it. I know I'm going to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I will too.
And I'll probably hate it. But that's okay. And, you know, I guess for this 50th anniversary, they're doing, I think we might have talked about this before, they're doing little short stories, one per doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first one's already out.
Well, cool.
I think I saw it on Audible, actually. Yeah, I'll have to go look that up.
I did see a quick, I don't know, 4 or 5 minute video somebody put together. I think BBC America put together on for the 50th anniversary. It was just a 4 minute compilation of kind of all the doctors through history, and you know the one question, you know, Doctor Who, kept running through the 5 minute. But it was really, it got you kind of pumped up and thinking, I would see the rest of season 7 now. So
cool. Now see, what frustrates me is that now that I'm catching up, I'm going to run out of content. And then I'm going to be very sad. I have to say, not only am I liking this series when I figured I probably wouldn't, I absolutely love this series.
You know, I am so glad I stuck with it through the first, you know, say 3 seasons, because the, you know, the bad guys were kind of gimmicky and it was like, boy, this is really bad, you know, sci-fi type special effects. But the storylines were just fantastic. And I've watched them again now, the second time through, really paying more attention to the storyline. Because first was kind of the background stuff for me. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I wasn't really catching anything. But now that I've gone through it a second time, the storylines that the writers are doing have just a fantastic job tying everything together, bringing everything, you know, full circle. And I think you're coming up with some of the best content in the whole series now. End of season 5, beginning of season 6, is just some fantastic stuff.
Now, see, I find that hard to believe that I'm coming up on some of the best stuff, because as much as I really did not like the season 4 companion, Donna,
mm-hmm.
I have to admit, you are correct that they make her an important part of the story and an interesting part of the story. Even if I'm not interested in her as a character, I'm interested in the events that surround her and what happens to her. And as much as I was worried I would not like David Tennant, I'm 5 episodes into the Matt Smith Doctor so far, and still, as much as I like Matt Smith, David Tennant just, there was something there, some depth of emotion or something, especially there at the end, the last mm-hmm. half of season 4. That was just really
intense.
Pretty
emotional. It really was. You're right. And I had the same thoughts. I thought I was going to be, you know, really kind of sad to see Tennant go. And I'm like, I'm not going to like who this new doctor is. And it's going to be, I don't know about this anymore. But the storyline, well, maybe it was the fact that he has a really cute companion in season 5 and 6. But
well, yeah, Amy Pond helps.
She does. But the storyline, the interaction between those two is just fantastic. And there's some just really good episodes coming up. The stories with her and the interactions with River. And I can't say anything until you see him. Oh, man, it's fantastic.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to it. And for anybody out there who has not watched it yet, I can't recommend it highly enough. I feel like an idiot for not having checked it out sooner. And I think we'll continue to talk more about it going forward on Escape Hatch. So now you talk about Fringe. That's another thing we're going to cover on Escape Hatch too, because with it wrapping up, a lot of people are calling it the best sci-fi on television right now. And it's probably true because there's not a whole lot of sci-fi on TV. And I guess it, you know, do you want to count the summer season and things like Falling Skies? I would say Falling Skies probably is the only thing I would say is as good, if not better.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some hope for The Continuum. I haven't seen the second episode. I have it on DVR right now, but I enjoyed the first episode. I thought the twist was good at the end of the first episode, and I have high hopes for it. I'll say that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I have to say, while I'm not hooked on it yet, as far as pilot episodes go, I think it's better than a lot of other pilots. I think that, you know, I forgot about Continuum. But looking back on other shows I've liked, I've hated the pilots. So it's already ahead of most other sci-fi shows I've watched. So to be fair, you know, that's a good sign. I am a little sad about Fringe going away, though. I guess I've been delaying watching these past few episodes, and I just watched all the way up to the finale earlier today. And after we're done recording here, I may go watch the finale. I don't know. But kind of sad to see that go. Honestly, I haven't really watched much else, though. I've been catching up on Doctor Who and Fringe, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, a few shows have come back since the holiday break, but yeah, the DVR is starting to fill up again, so I need to get back onto that. But
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about some of the shows coming back later on, though we've missed a lot of the mainstream ones, I guess. Most of the ABC, NBC, CBS staples have already come back.
And there's some new shows, you know, mid-season shows coming back on. Deception started up, and Following started last night, I guess.
I missed The Following.
I've recorded it. I haven't seen it yet.
And they didn't have it for free on iTunes.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I had a little bit of money left on a gift card from Christmas, so I picked it up. But I felt like, man, I don't want to pay $2 for an episode of TV that might not be any good. I could probably hunt it down and watch it on Hulu or something like that. But then I canceled my Hulu Plus subscription. I'm like, I don't know, what the heck, I'll just get it. But it better be good, darn it. I heard it's good. And it looked
interesting. I've heard good things about it, too. Yep.
So, we'll see. Anyway, we have a couple of interesting stories tonight. This first story, I don't even know how to respond to it, I guess. I got this from GameRant.com. Ironic, since it's a game and I'm definitely going to rant. No, I would never do that. The SimCity beta, like a lot of other games, you can volunteer to be in the beta and test the game out before it's released live. And it's kind of cool when you do that because you get to see the game a little bit before anybody else does. Normally, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, but, you know, it's still kind of cool. You're in on something that nobody else gets to see, or at least very few people.
Yeah, you get access early, you get to play it. Yeah.
Right. So, EA, technically, if you look at the EULA, End User License Agreement, there's some interesting information in here. I'm going to read it verbatim. Again, this is coming from GameRant.com. It is understood and agreed that, as part of your participation in the beta program, it is your responsibility to report all known bugs, abuse of bugs, undocumented features, or other defects and problems related to the game and beta software to EA as soon as they are found. If you know about a bug or have heard about a bug and failed to report the bug to EA, we reserve the right to treat you no differently from someone who abuses the bug. You acknowledge that EA reserves the right to lock anyone caught abusing a bug out of all EA products. To be clear, if you find a bug and don't report it, if a friend of yours finds a bug and tells you about it, regardless of whether you know they did or not, you have to report it. And if you fail to do so, then you will be, you could be, I should say could be, locked out of any and all EA games. Now, which would include any games made by people that EA owns.
Now, the question I have is, do they mean you'd be locked out from any future, betas, or locked out from playing, like buying the game off the shelf and playing it?
Oh, no. See, they're treating this as if you abused a bug or, an undocumented feature they have in quotes. If you're abusing the system, basically, if you're taking advantage of a hiccup in the system or, like in MMOs, in Warcraft, you might have something happen where you can walk between the walls of something and end up in some place you're not supposed to be. Well, that wasn't intended.
Right.
And if you do that and don't report it, then, you're in violation of the terms of agreement and they can ban your account. So this is effectively not just banning your account for SimCity. It's banning your account for any EA product. So I'm sure you could go buy a PS3 game or an Xbox game, but if you try to connect online with it, it's not going to let you connect online. You won't have any of the multiplayer stuff. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to download any of the DLC. The computer-based stuff, you won't be able to participate online at all. It's just, you're done.
Now, my first question is, how are they going to prove that you knew something that you didn't report? I mean, it seems awful arbitrary. It's like, well, we think you knew about this bug, so we're going to ban you.
Well, that's not the point.
I didn't know about the bug, so I couldn't report the bug.
That's...
I know, it's just one little portion.
Yeah, you're imposing reality on our little imaginary worst-case scenario here, and that's not right, Lou.
I'm sorry.
Next thing you're going to say is, if they did know that your friend told you about a bug and you didn't contact them immediately, that, it could be they impose a lesser punishment on you. Because that's not the point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Again, with the reality thing, come on. Bear with me here. You're killing my rant. I don't have a rant if we presume that EA is actually going to treat this sensibly, like they probably will. I guess it's kind of hard for them to prove that you knew about a bug if you don't exploit it. And if you don't take advantage of it, and how are they going to know? They probably won't.
Yeah, no. I suppose if you exploited the bug, sure, they would know, and that would be bad.
Yeah, I guess my issue is this: even though I don't see them actually going through with permanently banning somebody from all of their products because in a beta they failed to report a bug that perhaps they were not exploiting, but that technically EA is saying it's like you exploited it because you didn't tell us about it. I don't think it's going to happen. But the issue is, it's a beta product. You're inviting the public in because you're taking advantage of the fact that the public wants the inside scoop on the game. They want to be the first ones to play. You're taking advantage of that fanboyishness to use them as quality control for your own product. In any other industry, you would be expected to release a product that works. But instead, it has become a staple of the gaming industry now to basically crowdsource the quality control through the use of beta tests. And these players don't get paid anything to be doing your bug hunting for you and to finding the things that you did wrong with your game and shouldn't have done wrong in the first place and should be catching on your own and then fixing. And so then, if they don't do a good enough job, well, it's not like you can fire them because they don't really work for you, even though you kind of probably should be paying them something. But of course, they're just happy to get into the game. But no, you're going to say, well, you didn't let us know about it, so you can't play this game anymore. And when we release it to the public so everybody can play it, even if you pay us money, you're not going to get to play it. And you know what? Even if you pay us money for all of our other games, you're not going to get to play any of those either. I guess what really bugs me is the potential for them to be able to do this to people who are doing their work for them. It's like, do my job or you're fired.
I don't know about that.
I
must say, I got a smile on my face right now because I'm picturing Homer Simpson from that one episode where he did the, you know, this really grinds my gears.
Yeah, well.
But I'm like, you know, yes, they should release games that are bug free. But, you know, I mean, some of this stuff they can't test unless they have a large enough population to jump on and bang on the servers and make sure it's not going to fail at a certain, you know, do stress test, for example, for MMOs. They need that kind of, you know, involvement from the fan community.
Well, you know, though, if that's the case and if they're going to do that, then they shouldn't penalize that community when they fail to report a bug. If you can demonstrate that somebody is exploiting a bug, that's one thing. But if I come across a bug, mm-hmm. and I just think it's bad game design, like, I don't know, the fact that you can, rather than having to take a mode of transportation from one town to another, you can basically just walk around the corner and you're there. Well, okay, is that a bug or is that just they didn't design the game very well? Or in an MMO, if there's one class that's really powerful, well, is that a bug or is that just a balancing issue because somebody didn't balance the classes correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving that responsibility in the hand of the players to be able to ascertain, okay, this thing that's happening here, it's a bug. When it could just be that the player thinks, oh, if I do this, I get rewarded a lot. This must be a really good thing to do. It's giving me all of this money or all of these coins or something. And it turns out maybe the developers didn't mean for it to be that way. Well, is that a bug?
Yeah, there's some gray issues there. I can see that. I mean, I would imagine, and not to build your ramp, but I mean, I imagine that this was probably put in place by a legal team of some sort who is, you know, overpaid for what they're doing. And with the intent probably of saying that, well, if a beta tester finds a bug and thinks they can exploit it and doesn't until the game is released live and then can game the other players by using this, you know, cheat per se and gaining experience or gaining money or whatever the game is based on, you know, once it goes live, I can see that would be where they would come back at you and say, well, you know, you gained this knowledge during the beta, you didn't tell us about it, and now we're going to ban you. If that makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's worded wrong. I think it sounds really, really harsh, and it probably was not meant to be, but I imagine the lawyers got involved, and that's why it sounds the way it does.
So basically, this EULA has a bug. Is that what you're saying?
You can report that, yes.
Yeah. Well, and I guess if I don't report this, then I can't play any more EA games.
But you're not a beta tester, so you're safe.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so we're covered. Yeah, we're good.
But if I tell a friend about this who is a beta tester, then he was told about the bug in the EULA. I'm telling you, this is catastrophic. This is going to bring down the entire gaming industry.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, fine. Well, this next rant I have is legitimate.
I'll back you on this one, yes.
Yeah, even if the SimCity thing was, okay, it's not really a big deal. But this next one really kind of ticks me off. Have you ever watched Glee?
I've seen bits and pieces. I've not actually watched a whole episode.
Okay. I'm embarrassed to say that while I'm not a fan, I have seen, I think, all of the series.
Wow.
And I don't know why.
I'm surprised at that.
Well, my wife was watching it for a while, and I was watching it when she watched it. And then my son he's really into music. So it's one of the few primetime shows that I can watch and not have him like screaming or throwing iPads around the room or things like that while the show is on. It's really not the greatest show. But anyway, now I'm actually kind of mad about it. In an upcoming episode, I think it's an upcoming episode. I don't think it's aired yet.
Season four, I heard it was upcoming, yep.
Yeah, season 4, episode 11 has a cover of Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. And for you kids out there who don't know the song Baby Got Back, go ask your parents. And get off my lawn. So, that's fine. You know, they do a lot of different covers of songs on Glee. Sometimes they do mashups, or sometimes they take a song and reimagine it in a different musical genre. And that's okay. The catch is, it's a version of the song that was made popular by Jonathan Colton, best known for Still Alive from the Portal credits. This guy is kind of the techie internet version of Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mainly does kind of comedy music. Talks about code monkeys and zombies and, you know, just weird geeky stuff. Okay. He did a version of Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. Well, it turns out Glee is ripping that off. Now, before we go any further, what constitutes ripping something off? Okay, well, he does an acoustic guitar version. Well, so does Glee. Glee does an acoustic guitar version. But is that all it takes? Mm-hmm. Is that really enough to call something a ripoff? So I thought what would be interesting is if I played for you the Jonathan Colton version and the Glee version and let you decide.
Now, before you actually do that, now, do you have the original version?
I don't have it handy. No.
Okay. Because I mean, the one thing about this story that rings so, you know, bad about this for Glee, the Jonathan Colton version is not a cover like I'm just doing a version just like Sir Mix-a-Lot did. I'm doing a completely different version of the song. I mean, right. If you didn't know it was, you know, Baby Got Back, you might not know it was until you got to the chorus.
Right.
And even then, it's so different that I might not have two and two together that it was the same song, you know?
Right.
So that's one thing that really sticks out about this story, you know, more so than other ripoffs like this. But yeah, go ahead and play the two now.
Yeah, it's kind of what, like late 80s, early 90s hip hop?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
Not like, you know, mainstream hip hop, not like hardcore stuff.
But. Yeah, it was played everywhere. It's played at a lot of sporting events, not that you follow sports, but...
No, I've seen hockey game or two. That's the one with the ice, right?
Yes.
Okay. I've seen some hockey then. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to play the two versions of this song. And I'm actually going to play them together simultaneously.
Ooh.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey, face with the Oakland booty.
I'm going to switch to just... This is just Jonathan Colton here. I'm going to bring Glee back in.
I want to get rich and take your big picture. station. My home.
And this is Jess Glee.
But that butt you got makes me so horny.
And this is both of them again. Okay. Now, same key, same tempo, same guitar lick.
Yeah,
we're not just talking it was inspired
right
by Jonathan Coulter. We're talking it's practically his recording of it.
Now, somewhere else, and I don't see it in the article you linked to here in the show notes, but another article I read earlier this week about this, not only is it, you know, the same tempo, the same guitar lick, the same phrasing, they even used the same wrong lyric that he, because he changed up the name. I can't remember what name was used in the original Sir Mix-a-Lot song, but he mentions himself or mentions somebody else in that song.
He refers to himself as Johnny C.
Right.
And in the Glee version near the end of the song, they do the same thing.
Which means it's a copy of his, not of the original.
Right.
It's like, wow.
Right.
Blatant.
That's the thing. I listened to the Glee version, and then I listened to the Jonathan Coulter version, and I thought, wow, that's like really close. That's not just like they kind of stole it and redid it. It's almost like it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grabbed both of them and played both of them simultaneously, and it was just like, oh my gosh, you have to be kidding me. And to do this and not offer him any credit for it at all, it's just absolutely disgusting. So Colton tweeted about this, and I don't think he's going to pursue any legal action or anything, because technically it's not illegal. Now, here's how this works. Under Section 115A2 of the Copyright Act, and by the way, I'm taking this from The Verge. I got this from their website. They kind of break this all down for you. But under that section of the Copyright Act, musicians can cover songs by other musicians as long as they pay a, quote, compulsory license to the musician who wrote the song, to the songwriter, which Colton did. But that does not mean that Colton's version now is copyrighted and can't be reproduced. Now, they can't take his actual recording and replay it, but they can re-perform his version of the song, do their own recording, and then not a copyright violation.
Can you copyright a cover? I mean, you know, artists do covers all the time. And well, they put them on an album that they sell with their own stuff. I imagine that version is copyrighted.
As long as they pay that compulsory license fee. So in other words, Jonathan Coulter has released this on albums and has sold albums. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotten money from it. And that's fine. But he can't go after somebody else if they perform his version of the song.
Really?
So what's going to happen... For those who don't know, singles from Glee sell like mad on iTunes. Like just absolutely crazy, like outselling Elvis.
Yeah, I imagine.
Okay? Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is this song that is almost identical is going to make Glee a crap load of money that frankly should go to Jonathan Coulter. Now, there's a little bit of a catch in here, and I don't even think he's going to pursue this per se, but he said that after listening to the song again, it sounds like there were some portions of his recording that they used. There's something about a duck quacking and things like that.
Huh.
And if that's the case, then it's illegal. But this, I don't get this. At least give the guy credit. And he's like, I don't want any money from it. I just want to be recognized for having come up with this. And you know, for what little it's worth, we're going to do our part here and give him credit for what's going on where Glee didn't. And now some people are bringing up Weird Al. Okay. Because Weird Al does parody songs and things like that. And they're saying, okay, so basically that means anybody can just remake any of Weird Al's stuff, right? Well, no. Because Weird Al is the songwriter. He writes his own lyrics. So Madonna's Like a Virgin, and he does Madonna, he does Weird Al's Like a Surgeon. If you do your own version of Like a Surgeon, you don't pay the royalty fees to Madonna. Well, you might also have to pay them to her, but you pay them to Weird Al because he wrote the lyrics for Like a Surgeon.
Okay.
So the question is this: do the lyrics make the song, or does the music make the song?
Hmm. Interesting concept, yeah.
And you should be able to argue that both do.
Yeah, they were both creative. Somebody had to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
So I think in Weird Al's case, he has to pay licensing fees. But also in Jonathan Coulton's case, where it's the same lyrics but different orchestration to it, so to speak, he has to pay the fees. And I think that if Weird Al stuff is copyrighted, because it's the same music but it's different lyrics, I think Coulton's stuff should be able to be copyrighted if he paid the appropriate fees, because it's the same lyrics but different music.
Right, right.
It's two parts of a song. If it's not an instrumental song, then, you know, this whole situation is just ludicrous to me. And it's never going to see court. And what's going to happen is Glee is never going to give any credit to Jonathan Coulton. They're going to make a killing with this song in iTunes. And Coulton's not only not going to see any money, but it's not going to help further Coulton's career, even though this was a popular song that he had done. And I guess as somebody who likes to promote grassroots media production and things like that, this infuriates me.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I don't. Yeah, it's one thing to do a cover of something, but it's a totally other thing to do a cover that is so creative and so different than the original,
and then pass it off as your own.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah. I guess there's not much else to say about it. And
the thing that kills me the most with that is people that don't know Jonathan Coulton's version of this will think somebody was really creative at Glee in you know, one of the writers or one of the, you know, whoever's doing the show there, it was creative and did it themselves. That's what gets me the most. I mean, yeah, the money thing, I mean, Jonathan Coulton said he doesn't want any money out of this anyways, but it's just the point of, hey, I did something really different with this and no one knows, or very few people know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it kind of brings into question if they've done this before, because they've had other similar songs where they've taken like a really upbeat song and they've slowed it down and made it kind of a ballad, or they've taken a ballad and made it more upbeat, or they've taken, you know, a rap song and made it country, or country and made it jazz, or, you know, they kind of shift things around a lot. And it makes you wonder if this has happened in the past. You and I have heard of Jonathan Coulton because we're plugged into the internet. My mom's never heard of him.
Mm.
My sister's probably never heard of him. My wife has never heard of him. So are there other people out there that they're basically stealing the creativity from, passing it off on their own, and stuff I've heard from them before, thinking, oh, okay, well, that's kind of a neat little remix there. That's pretty cool.
Right, right.
And instead it actually belongs to somebody else. Probably not, but we'll never know.
It also brings up other things in my mind. I'm thinking about other music stuff where there's bands that make their whole, you know, existence off of doing covers, and usually they're different enough that it's their own version of the song, not just, I'm going to do a cover of this song, I'm going to make it my own. The one that comes to mind the most for me is Walk Off the Earth, when they did the cover of the Gautier song, Somebody I Used to Know. Their version was the first version I heard. And I should prefer it to the original Gautier version, but looking at this band a little more, that's what they do. They take songs, change them up, and do their own covers of them.
Right.
And it's just, you know, but they give credit back to who did the original. And I guess the question
is appropriate. Yeah.
Right. And I guess the question is, if people are doing their version of the song, you know, again, who you know, they were the creative mind behind changing it up enough to make it their own, but now someone else is doing the song and not giving them credit for it type thing. So,
yeah, the whole thing is just in bad taste.
Yeah.
And shame on them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take it without permission, that's one thing, but at least respect the fact that it belongs to somebody else. You know, the songs we have here on the podcast, they're not ours. I didn't write them. Far from it. I'm using them. Now, they're PodSafe, which means the creators have given permission for podcasters to use it as long as they give credit in the closing credits. But you know what? I had permission to use some of the Cell Dweller stuff all the way back to 2005 before the whole PodSafe thing was around. And there was no caveat that I had to mention who it was from or anything. And yet I did, because I think it's the right thing to do.
It is. Yeah.
You know, have some integrity.
Yep.
Don't pass stuff off as your own if it's not yours. Anyway, we've probably beaten this horse to death already, but I just saw this and I'm like, the story was bad enough. And then when I started playing the music, I'm like, change the key or do something. Shift the tempo. Anything at all. Don't make it so I can overlay the two songs. And with the occasional, like, word that might be said earlier or later than another, you can basically play the two and not realize that you're listening to two songs and think you're listening to one. To two recordings, rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to happier things.
I'm not sure the movie happier.
Oh, of course it is. You remember Gremlins from back in the 80s?
I do, yes.
Yeah, well, it's getting a remake.
I enjoyed Gremlins back in the 80s when I was a teenager. I don't think I've seen it since then.
Well, yeah, I haven't either. I remember it fondly. I don't remember the second one at all.
No.
Other than the second one was crap. But, yeah, and apparently, who is it that owns it? Is it Warner Brothers?
I have no idea.
Check on one of the websites here was talking about it. Yeah, Warner Brothers. Apparently, Warner Brothers is insisting that it be CG. And even though it's being insisted upon by whoever's doing it, and I probably got that in an article here too, but I didn't think it relevant at the time. Even though they're saying, no, it's so much cheaper to just do it with puppets like we did originally. They're saying, no, it has to be CG.
It worked well as puppets.
It really did.
I mean, well, thinking back to my teenage years and how I viewed it as a teenager, if I watch it now, it might not work so well. But,
well, I don't know. I think it might still be. Okay, I think it would pass from the context of puppets. I mean, I don't know. Animatronics and everything is so much more advanced now, but still, it's.
I mean, nothing in my memory strikes out as saying, ooh, that didn't look real. It, you know, it passed. You know, I thought it was
right,
a good
movie
back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is another one of those things where we really don't need.
No.
A remake. How do I put it? It would be nice to be able to introduce Gremlins to a new generation. And I think that's why a lot of the 80s stuff has been getting remade, because a lot of the 80s stuff, you just got out of the Star Wars era. Return of the Jedi had just come out. They were starting to learn how to do practical effects cheaper, and green screen stuff was becoming more common. Even though, you know, it wasn't great at the time, but people were figuring out how to do these things. And so now we can do them better. And it was kind of the birth of blockbuster films. And now they want to bring these blockbusters to new generations, and okay, fine, whatever. But can you do it in a way that doesn't suck?
Mm.
Can you think of one 80s reboot recently that's been good? Not great, just even good.
Yeah, not really.
Or one that's even been as good as the original, let alone better. I mentioned Dredd last week, but I think the other Judge Dredd was probably 90s, not 80s.
Yeah, probably. Yep. I was thinking the other movie in the same time frame, probably 90s also. I'm drawing a blank out. Schwarzenegger movie, Going to Mars.
Total Recall. I think that might have been late 80s.
Was it late 80s? I mean, was it better than the original? I don't know. I mean, they both had their flaws. They're both...
You know what, though? I just watched that recently, and I can say that I think it was a fair remake. It wasn't a bad movie. I think people are a little too tough on it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think you hit on an example there that might work. So there's one.
What else?
The things that come to mind for me are The A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard, but of course those were television series.
Yeah, I didn't see the one of those.
Red Dawn? I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that. I heard it's not worth seeing.
Okay.
But...
I don't know. So I can't think of anything that has been successful. I don't mean box office wise. I mean that's actually been of good quality. That's been an 80s remake. And there's got to be something. There's got to be something
I'll
forgetting.
I'll give this more thought between now next week, but I don't think so either. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's going to bring in money because all the other 80s remakes do, but...
And it's geared towards kids, so that's also going to be a... Well, Gremlins was kind of a kids' movie, wasn't it?
Well, it should have been, but...
It was rated PG, wasn't it?
That's a really good question. Of course, at the time, PG was...
Yeah, a lot different than PG today, right?
Yeah, yes. I mean, maybe it should have been PG-13, at least, by today's standards. But, I mean, there was violence and killing and... putting little gremlins in the microwave and blowing them up. And
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But somebody got stabbed to death.
Yeah. Okay. It was a little more violent than I'm thinking it was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, a kid's movie, maybe a teenager's movie at least, but yeah, definitely not under.
Yeah, no, you're 13. Right. No, not a kid's movie. You're right. Okay.
They marketed it as a kid's movie because of course Gizmo was cute
and they had the toys and that was a big seller.
Toys everywhere.
I must say though, in the theater, my friend and I had seen it together and we were the only two laughing at the point when she was telling the story about how her father died. Do you remember that?
Dude, you're pretty messed up.
It was funny. And I'm realizing it wasn't supposed to be funny. Okay. No. I'm sorry.
No, not really.
But it seemed so implausible. That I laughed. I was a teenager.
Was that the one where like her dad gets stuck in the chimney as Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yes. The one. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's a little. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one.
I was like, come on.
That is a little funny.
Anyway.
All right, well, whether we want one or not, it looks like we're getting one. I agree with you, I think it's stupid. So basically, it's been nothing but bad news this show. Beta volunteers getting permanently banned. Glee rips off Jonathan Colton, and all we get is this lousy Gremlins remake.
We had a good Doctor Who discussion at the beginning, though.
Well, that's true.
So that was an upbeat note.
Did we mention before that Alphas got canceled?
I don't think we did.
Okay.
It happened after the last show.
Continuing on with our episode of good news, Alphas got canceled.
I was sad to hear that.
I can understand why it got canceled.
Yeah, but the show was just getting to the point where it had some conspiracy stuff going on. It was starting to tie things together. It was starting to have some kind of, you know, mystery type stuff going on there. I was looking forward to another season of that, but...
Yeah, but I think it didn't do it soon enough.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The first season took a long time to get where it was going. And, you know, 6 months from now, will I be, sad that Office is gone? I know I probably even remember it was on, but yeah.
You know, that's a really good thing to take a look at here. Lost, you had the big hook at the end of the pilot episode. You know, you had the repeating transmission. You had the strange noise in the woods that people thought might have been a dinosaur. And Charlie saying, guys, where are we? And you kind of had that hook. And then in the first couple episodes after that, you had some other strange things happening. But they mostly took season one to develop the characters. But they got that hook in strong enough. And they kept tugging on it a little bit throughout season one. And that plus some really good character development saved them. But if you look at a bunch of other shows, look at Fringe. Great show, but the whole first season, it almost failed. It almost tanked because there was nothing going on.
Right. And it was almost a whole different show, too. I thought right. season one was like a different show than season two on was.
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, well, what's going on here? What's, you know, this, it was all disconnected, nothing tied together.
Right.
And they made a serious change for season two and beyond.
And look at Alphas.
Hmm.
You know, season one is okay. And season two gets to be good. Look at Dollhouse. Season one, very episodic, not much of a hook. Season two, some great hooks, but by then it was too late. I think the problem with a lot of the sci-fi is not necessarily that it sucks, but that they've seen some good examples of sci-fi with good character development, and they know that that's really what people want. They want a character drama in a sci-fi environment,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have that mystery there or that hook, and they don't introduce it until later on after you care about the characters. But people don't care about caring about characters if there's nothing else going on.
Yeah, it's going to be something to keep you coming back to it to learn a little bit more about the storyline. And that's where I think Continuum succeeded with their pilot episode. You know, that's a really good point. They had that hook right at the end where you're like, oh, okay, that's who this guy is, and that's what's going on here. And
now we'll see if they keep it going.
Exactly.
But I think that's a really good point. That's something Continuum did right. And I guess I just never really sat and thought about it collectively as to how many of the shows did it wrong. We've talked before plenty of times about, well, yeah, it got good, but it got good too late. Well, it seems like every single new sci-fi show, that's the case.
Yep.
Huh.
I hadn't thought about it that way until you mentioned that. And I'm like, yeah, no, Continuum's doing the same, doing that hopefully right.
It seems that way, yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, let's talk about some other shows before we wrap up this episode. You mentioned The Following, which just started yesterday, which more good news. If you want to watch that and didn't know about it, you missed it. This is really a downer of an episode, isn't it? It's Jay's fault.
It's all, it is. Yes, it is. I was going to say, it's all how you present it and you're just trying to show it negative. And
yeah, if Jay were here, he would put a happier spin on it somehow. That's the way in which it's Jay's fault. White Collar, if you're a fan of that and would like to know when it starts, well, it starts tonight. And we're not going to get this episode out until tomorrow. So you're
out of luck. Miss that one, too.
But we do have some others that you will be in time for. Americans, which is on FX, starts on January 30th. And speaking of 80s stuff, that's one that seems to take place back in the Cold War era of the 80s with an undercover Russian sleeper agent person.
Really? I haven't heard anything about that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen some just like commercial length promos for it and look pretty good. There's a free promo on iTunes right now. Can't tell you much about it. I've downloaded it, but I haven't watched it. I will say that the premise looks interesting. I wonder if it's not something you and I might really like because we lived through that time period and other people might not care about.
Okay.
Or it could be something that dramatizes that time period a lot more and maybe it will make people be interested in it because of that. I don't know. But take a look at it and see what you think. Like I said, it's free on iTunes, but it's just a sneak peek. But it's probably worth taking a look at that. I think it's got potential. Next up, we've got Community is coming February 7th. I know that's a little further down the road, but it's Community, dang it, and therefore it's worth mentioning. And, you know, I looked at the list of stuff coming out soon, and nothing else really caught my eye other than Walking Dead returns on February 10th. And, wow, does that look good.
Mm-hmm.
They just released another trailer.
Ooh, I haven't seen that. Now, sometime between now and then, they're going to release the seasons one and two in black and white also. I mean, I've heard that, but I don't know when they're doing that.
Yes, I don't have a schedule for that, but they are going to be doing that sometime in February, they said, presumably before the second half of season three starts. Okay. They're going to be doing a marathon of all of the episodes so far in black and white. Well, I should take that back. All of season one and season two, I don't think they're doing the first half of season three.
Yeah, no, that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
Other new show coming out, I think next month, is Juno Harm. That looks interesting.
I heard about that, but I don't know anything about it.
It got a doctor, I guess, and he's got a different personality from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., I think it is. So it's a different personality that does things and spends his money. And it looks like it might be a fun ride, but I have no idea how good the show will be overall.
So kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde sort
of
thing.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take a look at the first episode and see where it goes from there.
All right. You said it's coming out in February?
I want to say it's like early February or maybe even January 31st, something like that, but right around the end of this month, beginning of next.
Okay. Well, the only other one that really caught my eye was Psych on USA. One of my favorite shows, not because it's the greatest show in the world, but it's just a lot of fun. And that returns February 27th.
Cool. And I just did a check here. Do No Harm premieres January 31st on NBC.
Oh, on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Huh,
very cool. You know, if anybody out there wants to get me a birthday present, you could get me an iTunes gift card or something, and I could go pick up the first half of season 7 of Doctor Who. Just throwing that out there. There's a little donate link on the Random Chatter website. Or, you know, I could use a new car. Why did I shoot so low?
I know.
Let me start that over.
You start with the car and you go for the gift card later.
I'm in a very small apartment, and if somebody would like to get me a birthday present, a bigger apartment. See, there we go again. A house.
House, yes. House.
Would be pretty good. If everybody donates just a dollar and then clicks their back button and donates $100,000.
Okay. I saw an ad yesterday on TV that for, I think it was for Dodge, where they have a car registry now. You can actually,
what?
You can say, I want to have this car. And the ad talks about, you know, oh, dad funded the engine and aunt funded the tires. And then you get a whole new car. I'm like, really?
Wow.
That's as like a wedding registry type thing or something. I'm like, that kind of a nice marketing idea. Interesting. I'm not sure it would really fly.
Okay.
But
weddings and graduations, maybe, but I guess I wish I had either enough family members or ones
exactly.
that were rich enough.
Yeah.
Wow. That like, seems to.
In some parts of the country, maybe that would fly well, but I don't have enough rich relatives.
That's like Christmas time watching these commercials for Mercedes.
Yeah, I've always
and making it
too.
Sound like somebody's just going down to the Mercedes dealership and getting their girlfriend a car for Christmas. I'm like, have you looked outside? Have you seen the economy?
Exactly.
You really think that's happening? Registry for cars. Wow. Okay. Hey, you know, if it works, so be it. Well, that's it for this episode, I think.
Yeah,
we'll move on to some good news. What we're going to cover in the Escape Hatch this week. This is pretty good news, right? We're going to talk a little bit more about Doctor Who, not a whole lot, but we do have some information about, you remember the movie Zombieland?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's getting a television series.
That's kind of cool.
But wait, there's more. Not only is it getting a television series, it's not going to be going to one of the major networks. It's not even going to one of the cable networks. It is going to Amazon's streaming video. That is going to be its primary distribution channel.
Is this the first show doing that? I know they've done some small stuff here and there, but the first...
This is the first one that I'm aware of that is really going to have a big name that people are going to recognize.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting news. And if nothing else, I'm glad that this sort of thing is happening in general. I'm glad to see that they're taking the traditional television paradigm and twisting it.
It's a shift away from networks and cable.
Yes.
To something totally different. Yeah.
Yes. Because of any sort of media industry, television really is the one that has never changed very much. And I think this is one of the very first steps in the right direction, along with, you know, Hulu and Netflix has been doing this too, but this is a big name, a property that people are familiar with, and I'm pretty excited about it. So
nice.
So check that out on the Escape Hatch. That's it for this episode. So the music you hear in this podcast, because we do give proper attribution, is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. Yeah, see, I had to get that jab in there.
Yes.
I just had to.
It's by okay. all means.
The podcast is copyright 2013, randomchatter.com. And if you take it and play it somewhere else, at least give us credit for it. Because our listeners have integrity.
And of course, we want to hear your feedback. So if you have feedback about where you hear our show elsewhere that may not be, you know, copyright. No, just kidding. You know, let us know what you think.
If you don't report it to us, you're not allowed to listen to any of our shows ever again.
No. Maybe they have to listen to all of our shows.
Oh, wow.
Going forward.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
So you can always hit us at email, podcast at randomchatter.com. You can follow us on Twitter at randomchatter. And, of course, we always like feedback in iTunes. And if you like this show and want to hear some other stuff, you can listen to the Escape Hatch or the Box Table. And check out some of the stuff our other hosts are doing. Jay, who's normally with us here, is also over at rebelscum.com. And he does the Jedi Journals podcast on theforce.net. And, of course, our co-host on... The Escape Hatch is Nathan, and he's the co-founder of flickchart.com, a very cool movie ranking website. So head over there and start creating your flick chart yourself, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
And until next time, we'll see you guys later.
See ya.